Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
The hitting is extra hard this week on Primetime.
Oh, he gets walloped!
This is a wild card week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Wild card week with Isaac and Sue on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Oh, and he took a hard hit. Hello.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Hi.
What's up? We're back.
Yeah, we are.
We're back.
No show Thursday.
Yeah, we are.
I'm a big fan of No Show Thursday, but No Show Friday right out.
I loved No Show Thursday yesterday. It was great.
It was a beautiful day. Played a little golf, sat down and watched Drew Aller doing Drew Aller things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's nice.
Good times.
Look, at least you can say, we all had the same thought. When we were watching that game in the first half, we were like, oh my God. Like
we're launching right into it.
And then,
can we talk about boobs or
the
something?
The second half. What did you say?
What?
Talk about what?
Nothing.
You talking about up tops or
what?
Did you say booze or was there another B in there?
Yeah, booze.
Oh, booze.
Yeah.
Booze.
Let's talk about booze. Mm.
We talk about.
I'm going to show you my boobs.
You talking about getting pistol whipped? That's a busy Christmas.
Yeah, wait a minute. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, pistol whipping people.
So what's that guy's name?
That's Don Pelham's nephew. Is it Ryan Pelham, right?
Ryan Pelham, yep.
And he's a former Duck.
Yeah, he's the guy that muffed the punt at Michigan, which is you might remember him from such notable plays as muffing the punt at Michigan, which is the only thing anyone
and that was about it.
Hey, I do remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
he entered the transfer portal 3 days ago, but that was between when he pistol whipped somebody on Christmas and when he got arrested for it on Wednesday.
Now, I will say that is a busy Christmas. I don't know what his Christmas was like. I didn't pistol whip anyone, but
I did.
Yeah, just, you know, family, you know, got a little...
Sometimes I do that.
Yeah. I'm going to put a positive spin on this. I'm going to, I'm going to flip this one on its ear.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, there was some sort of confrontation at Christmas. The man had a gun, didn't shoot anyone. Can we give him credit for just pistol whipping?
You're going positive spin.
And not shooting someone.
Yeah. Wherewithal to only pistol whip someone.
You could say that shows amazing restraint, and the spirit of Christmas was running through him.
I don't hate it.
When he only pistol whipped someone as opposed to popping a cap in someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, who did he pistol whip and why?
That we don't know.
Unclear. It was in Long Beach County.
Yeah. Hey man, the LBC stuff gets down in there, man. You got to prove yourself in the beach.
So this kid played at Oregon,
yes,
but didn't, and then pistol whipped somebody, but we don't know why or who, and then he comes back to Oregon, and then transfers. Is that how
he entered the transfer portal on Tuesday,
but they arrested him in Springfield, so he's back here.
Yeah, so I don't know if he was just like cleaning out his apartment or what, but yeah, he was back in the Eugene area and got his nationwide warrant.
Yeah.
Nationwide warrant.
The LBC, man. At least it's not Inglewood. They're always up to no good.
Well, this makes Oregon look great.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because he's leaving.
They didn't want him. They're like, you're out of here.
Well, they
didn't think
want him
you might have pistol whipped someone. So
is it possible that he didn't? I mean, who knows?
He ain't playing. He muffed that punt.
That was it.
And Dan Lanning's like, you're out of here. We can't have that.
In this day and age, with the transfer portal, no one knows who the hell is making the decision.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Because, like, I'd say at least half of the kids, if not 70% that go into the portal, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, the portal. The team is wanting them to go in the portal.
I say that all the time.
Yeah. Oh my God, the portal.
Well, we freak out over the transfer portal and it's ruining college football.
I'm not freaking out over it. I like it. I think it's fun. I like free agency in my college football.
For most of these kids, the teams don't want him now, the Carson Becks of the world. Although
Miami wants him.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not sure Georgia does.
You think, I was going to ask that. Do you think Georgia drove him out of there?
I think Georgia may have let him know whether it's the, and I, by the way, I think this is going to happen to Quinn Ewers. I think Sark and Kirby Smart both sat down with their quarterbacks, Darren Thomas-esque, if you will, and simply said, whether it's the NFL or somewhere else, we are not guaranteeing your job next year. And so it would behoove you to maybe look somewhere else. You can't convince me that that Carson Beck, who had the year he had, the NFL, that guy at one point is supposed to be the number one overall pick. That ain't happening. And Georgia with the Gunnar Stockton, they may look at that and just be like, hey, we're going in a youth movement, or at least we're having a real competition. I promise you, win or lose tonight, Texas is going to say the same thing to Ewers. Hey, Arch is going to get a real look at this next year. And, you know, when Miami's offering you $4 million, Carson Beck's like, all right.
I get that. But I just feel like Arch is one thing. Gunnar Stockton?
Man. Did you see Carson Beck play this year?
Yeah, but Gunnar Stockton, like, if Arch is behind him, I get maybe Carson Beck, maybe he was reading his own clippings, you know?
Yeah.
One of those kids.
Well, I mean, I think
wasn't he dating like one of the Cavender twins, and
that would make I don't know.
Like, maybe he's a prima donna and Kirby don't want none of that.
Well, I just know,
I don't know.
For a lot of these kids that come into the year, last year it happened. I'm not trying to launch into what happened last night, but Riley Leonard at the start of last year was viewed as a top 10 NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
You don't remember that? Riley Leonard had an S ton of hype at Duke, S ton. Mm. And, you know, I forget who they had the big win over
Northern Illinois. Oh, wait.
No. This was back when he was at Duke.
Oh, Duke.
Duke beat someone. It might have been Miami. Duke beat someone in the ACC, and it was a big deal, and, like, Riley Leonard was the national darling, and, you know, he was going to be a top 10 pick. Wrong. And so he transfers to Notre Dame, and we're all saying, you know, hey, maybe Notre Dame has a real shot because they have a quarterback this year. Well, they do have a shot, but them having a quarterback? Wrong.
Well, they're in the final.
Do they have a quarterback? Wrong. They haven't thrown for 200 yards all year.
They're in the final.
And I'll give Riley Leonard, did you watch any of the postgame stuff?
Yeah, I saw him praise Jesus.
Well, yeah, Riley Leonard loves Jesus, and Jesus loves Riley Leonard and Notre Dame. You would think he'd be busy elsewhere, but he was very
Glory
focused
to God.
On what was happening down at the Orange Bowl.
That whole thing.
But I'll give Riley Leonard this. There was about three different times that the blonde, who was it? I forget. Whoever was the lady interviewing everyone after the game.
I don't remember.
Name's on the tip of my tongue, and I'm
Katie Couric.
I don't
the
think
the great
it was Katie
George.
Katie George.
No, it wasn't Katie George.
It was the other one.
The other one.
There were two sides. So
was
now
Laura Rutledge on it?
Didn't we used to only have one sideline reporter?
Yeah, now we have one aside to each team on each sideline.
Yeah. And they have little notepads.
So the cute blonde, as opposed to the cute brunette, was down there, and she kept trying to ask Riley Leonard how he did it. And Riley Leonard kept being like,
yeah, I didn't do anything.
He's like, I tried to screw it up, guys. Like, I was actively trying to lose this game with my interceptions.
Well, she said, hey, how do you always come through in the biggest moments? And he's like, yeah, I don't know about always. I just had really good teammates. I was pretty much benched.
Think about it. He is the worst part of that team. He is.
He can run, though.
That's it.
I mean, those design runs are pretty hard to stop. Third and mid.
And he had the one where they did the design run on the, and he ended up throwing the, like, a little 4-yard
pass.
They got a little
army to him.
Yes.
In that regard.
Yes.
Like, it's really hard to stop that. Yeah. Like, cause even if you stop him, he's tough. Like, he's got a way of falling forward for 3 yards.
I thought 100% that we were getting the Tua situation when he got his bell rung and he went to concussion protocol, and they brought in the backup, whose name is not a
Angeli or something like that.
His name is Steve Angeli.
Yeah, Steve.
And I thought for sure they were going to stick with him.
Exactly.
He could throw the ball.
All of a sudden, you're like, what the hell?
This like, why didn't this guy win the job?
He can throw the ball. It's like Michigan had this every now and then when like they bring in Orgy and then they'd go back to someone else, and you're like, wait. Why don't you bring the kid that can throw the ball? But to their credit, Riley Leonard came back, had a couple passes, but he is the worst part of their football team. Him throwing the ball is the worst part of their football team, and yet here they are.
So a couple things. One, I mentioned the Cavender girls.
Yeah.
They're twins. They used to play at Miami. I thought they transferred or left. But maybe they're still there. I don't know.
They were going to, and then
they
came back.
They used to play at Fresno. Then they transferred to Miami and then retired.
Yeah, they're not
playing.
And
then one said no, they were coming back, and I don't know what happened to the other.
Well, I think they live in Miami is the point. Yeah, and perhaps that's why Carson Beck is transferring to Miami.
That and $4 million. If I told you you could go and probably be a third-round NFL pick and not be a starter, or and by the way, that's like Cleveland, or I could give you $4 million, a beachfront place, and a twin on South Beach. You take that.
Yeah, I can't really see. Other than if there may have been trouble in Paradise with Carson Beck, but that was just speculation. If there's not, I can't see Georgia shoving him out for Gunnar Stockton. Mm. I just can't see it. So I think it sounds like maybe it's he's chasing the tail. And don't we all?
Well, yes.
Haven't we all?
I still think that it was a real possibility that Georgia told him that there is a serious, like, you are not guaranteed this job. And yeah, I think he knows that if he plays the way he did this year, like it's just weird that these quarterbacks, the last couple of years that we build up,
none of them are any good.
None of them are any good.
Why is that?
Quinn Ewers, average. And he's the best one, but
Carson Beck, Quinn Ewers, Drew Aller.
And
explain.
And throw Riley Leonard in there, who's not good.
But that's why maybe we should give Shedeur Sanders some credit.
Yes.
Because he was good.
If Shedeur Sanders was on any one of these teams.
Dylan Gabriel?
Yes. If Shedeur Sanders was on any one of these playoff teams, it would change the landscape of this playoff. Shedeur Sanders at Notre Dame. Shedeur Sanders. If Shedeur Sanders is at Penn State, they win that game by 20 points.
Yeah.
Because Notre Dame was on the verge of getting knocked out until Drew Aller decided to do Drew Aller.
The quarterback play in that game was depressing.
It
was not good.
Not only was Drew Aller the interception, which, by the way,
what are you doing, man?
I appreciate that you are trying to save face, but why lie and say that you were trying to throw that ball away? Like, what are we doing?
Well, no, he said he's trying to throw it at his feet.
Well, he said he was trying to dirt it.
Yeah, but then he said, I should have just thrown it away.
Well, let's just stop it.
Well, was terrible. But those quarterbacks...
He missed about four throws in that first half that if he hits any of those...
You know what he did?
Penn State is running away with... It's 17-0 and Notre Dame is dead.
He channeled his inner bad Sam Darnold.
He did.
That's what he did.
Except Drew Aller is bad Sam Darnold. Like, if you ripped off a Drew Aller mask, it would just be a mask of Drew Aller.
You know what's interesting is I just wonder if, like, when you... Because, like, the Notre Dame backup came in, and we're all... I mean, we all had the fleeting thought. Yeah. It's like, well, maybe they just stick with this guy.
Yeah.
If Penn State had their backup, which they don't, because he transferred, but if...
Prabula.
Prabula or whatever?
Bo Prabula.
Yeah.
If they had him, you wonder if they would... I mean, they would have never put him in.
Yeah.
But I just mean, if he had to go in, or if he... Some fun experiment, you put him in,
they
probably win the game.
Well, Penn State,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to remember what game it was, but Drew Aller got hurt, and they brought in the backup. It might have been Nebraska. And all of a sudden, the Penn State offense, people were like, we may want to just stick with this. And look, you got to defer to coaches there. I was listening to a thing with Urban Meyer today.
Herbs.
Yeah, and someone was asking, hey, if Quinn Ewers is doing Quinn Ewers' thing, is there a chance tonight that they go to Arch Manning? And he goes, no. He goes, look, I know that we all love the backup and we all love the Tua story, which is the ballsiest move in the history of college football. That Nick Saban sat the SEC Player of the Year in the second half of that game and went and went to Tua,
you know,
and won a national championship.
That's a great point. Like, think about how bad Jalen Hurts was playing.
Yeah.
And then he got benched.
He got benched
in the championship game. And look at him now.
Yeah. It's kind of insane.
I mean, that's just to say, let's not write off Ewers
yeah.
or Beck
yeah.
or Aller,
yeah.
but because the same thing happened with Jalen Hurts
yeah.
in difference, college.
The difference was is that Jalen Hurts was good and had a bad game. Drew Aller is just not good, in my opinion. Never has been. But this is what Urban Meyer's point goes. He goes, I know that we all love Arch Manning. He goes, but
I don't.
He goes, I've talked to people at Texas, and he goes, I went and watched the film when Arch came in for Quinn Ewers, and he was like, I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, but he's like, that kid's not lighting the world on fire. So it's one of those things where we all love the backup, but at times, as poorly as some of these guys have played, if the backup really was worth anything, they would have gone to him. And they went to Arch yeah. for like one series or
I
two
feel
series
you.
Against Georgia.
But last night, that's as bad.
I thought about it.
That's as bad as I've seen a supposedly good quarterback.
You're making me uncomfortable.
That's as bad as I've seen. I mean, that's as bad as it gets.
I don't.
He only hit one pass. He hit the one pass on the sideline
to Warren.
To Warren, where he hit his head.
Yep.
That was the only good throw he made all night.
I am shocked and stunned that they were on the verge of going to the national championship and they did not. I don't know if this has ever been done. Had they won that game. He never once completed a pass to a wide receiver.
Yeah.
They said it's been 20 years since they had a game like that.
I don't even know how that's possible. You mentioned.
And their wide receivers aren't horrible.
Yeah. You mentioned Army football. That's what Army does. That's Army. Army and Navy were watching that being like, wow, my God, this he can't throw.
Hey, he completed some passes to the other team, though.
Yeah. A couple of them.
Three of them.
Well, a couple of them got, yeah, three. And then just two of them got wiped off, which don't
We would have had five picks. Yeah. In the game, without those two
penalties,
we would have had five interceptions in that game.
I kept watching that offense being like, God, just let him throw the ball. And then they let him throw the ball. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I guess that's
don't
why.
Do that.
Yeah, what,
do
now I, ah, now I get it.
Hand the ball.
It's good times.
I do enjoy that Notre Dame doesn't want it. Like, they at least Notre Dame knows. They're like, hey, look, Riley Leonard, we're just running a lot of quarterback option and then some RPOs and occasionally throw one like 5 feet.
Hey, man, you got to give them credit. You know, they look dead in the water.
Yes.
And they came out in the second half.
Got up off the mat.
And they just pounded it right down Penn State's throat. And then you have a couple guys fall down on a throw. And, you know, you have a bad quarterback on the other side. And before you know it, you're in the national championship game. The hell? Let's start there. Coming up next on The Fan. All right. What is up? We're back. We were not here yesterday because we had to play for you Oregon getting vengeance.
Yes.
Come from behind victory.
On Ohio State. I don't know how Ohio State recovers from that.
No.
They don't.
The Ducks.
No. In fact, I think Texas wins tonight.
Because of that.
It probably derailed them. Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yes.
As the Ducks went into Columbus and beat the Ohio State men's basketball team.
In a game that we thought was going to be more like the Rose Bowl game. You know, it was back and forth, close game, as opposed to what actually happened in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we weren't here. And then you heard the Penn State-Notre Dame game, which we're going to cover that, and then we'll get into tonight's game between Ohio State and Texas. We will have Joey Harrington at his normal time, 5:30. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we have going on. In the interest of keeping with the theme that we started with regards to this game, because there's a lot to discuss here.
There is a lot to discuss.
Just real quick on the theme of backups, we were talking about the backup quarterbacks, but you know, Notre Dame had, I think, two offensive linemen go down in that game.
They did, and they were already down two offensive linemen for the year. I mean, they have a lot of injuries.
They're like
the Detroit Lions of college football.
But they won. So I feel like, do we overrate or maybe overemphasize injuries too much? Because, I mean, if you had told me that Notre Dame would fall down 10-0, Riley Leonard would go into the concussion tent or whatever, however they do it in college.
Yeah, same thing.
10. And two more offensive linemen for Notre Dame would leave the field. I would be like, they're done. I mean, Penn State's going to run away with it. They were up 10-0. And so how is it that they won? I mean, how does that happen?
I think, well, two things.
Other than we just overvalue.
Well, two things. One, Penn State was Penn State. I mean, honestly, if Drew Aller just plays a decent game.
Yeah, that's true.
It's 21-0 at the half.
Yeah.
And we're not having this conversation. Penn State, much like they did with Boise State, Penn State came out and clearly was the more physical, better team. And they let Notre Dame hang around. And when you do that and you let teams get comfortable, weird things can happen. And then for the backups, yes, it is a big deal. And some of this, like Notre Dame, after the injuries, they could not block Penn State's front. I mean, it's kind of shocking that they even got a couple scores in there. Carter and the other DN for Penn State, I mean, they were just having their way. That poor bastard backup tackle that came in, he was getting no help. I was actually enraged at Notre Dame. I hate when teams do this. And Saban was talking about it at the half. He's like, you got to chip this. You got to do something. Carter only has one good arm. And I get it. He's the best edge rusher in college football. He's playing with one arm. And Notre Dame's just taking their backup tackle and being like, well, good luck out there.
Well, they won, though.
They won. But yes, at times, I get it. The backup can come in and it you can stabilize things. But especially in the world of college football, dude, injuries are really, really hard to overcome, especially if you get them in groups and especially if they're at key positions. I am shocked that Notre Dame was able to overcome it. So can we make too much of it? Sure, I guess, when it doesn't go your way. But more often than not, when you have an injury-riddled team, it really is. It's a war of attrition, and it's hard to overcome.
I get that. Generally speaking, yeah. I understand that. But I feel like in the heat of the moment, oftentimes the backups come in and they don't, and you don't even notice it. Yeah. Like it's not as big of a thing sometimes as we make it out to be. But you're right. I mean, they could not block Penn State.
No.
At the same time, I don't really understand how it happens that they come out in the second half and march right down the field on.
Well, and I think Jeremiah Love, the Notre Dame back, I think he went in and got a little of the needle because he looked like a different player in the second half. I think he even went and was hurtling. That touchdown run he had where he just kept driving his
Beastly.
Legs. That looked like a different player. Maybe that was one of those that, hey, I don't want to do this. Oh my God, I need us in the second half and I'm going to go in there and take some magic juice. Because he did look like a different player. And without him, they don't win.
Did you hear his quote after the game?
What'd he say?
He said, we went out there and played like the dogs that we are. We ain't no little dogs. We're big dogs. They was the little dogs today. We're little cats, whatever you want to call them.
Damn. You know, well, he only had 11 rushes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he just, but
11 for 45.
But the first half was like 3 for 10.
And the second half, he was a difference maker. Oh yeah. There. I mean,
I don't know.
Look, that was one of those,
a weird game.
I can't figure out how Notre Dame won that game.
There are so many things that it's like, what is happening?
Well,
how are they doing this?
And if you're Penn State, you are now what? 0-11 against top five teams, or it might be 0-12.
Well, Franklin's 1-15 against the top five. Franklin is. Yeah.
Well, okay, so
against the AP top five.
It's been like 10 years since you've beat one. That is by far your best opportunity. You were playing a Notre Dame team that did not have a good quarterback, that was down multiple front seven guys off a good defense, playing with four backup offensive linemen, essentially, two that went out during that game, two more over the course of the season. And you were physically mauling them. And somehow, and by the way, Notre Dame's best offensive player was playing on one leg and really only played a half of a football game. And somehow you still managed to lose that? I mean,
can we blame?
It's kind of shocking, but at the same time, Penn State going to Penn State and Drew Aller going to Drew Aller.
Yeah, can we just blame Drew Aller on this one?
You probably can. Because, come on,
everything else,
it worked.
They should have won. So I guess you could pin it on Franklin because that's what he does.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it's Franklin's fault that Drew Aller literally looked like he had never played in a big game before in his life.
Well,
like,
that first drive where they settled for three, he had his running back wide open and he like threw it at his ankles.
Threw it at his feet. Yeah. Oh, dude. I mean, we could count the ways Drew Aller.
That's why I said if he just played.
Screwed up.
Average.
If he just played a solid game.
Not even that.
It's 21-0 at the half.
He threw two picks that were taken away by penalties.
Yes.
Okay, so you got lucky on those.
Yeah.
Like Buck said, if he just throws that first touchdown pass at the guy's helmet, there's 4 points right there.
Another one, Warren, where he overthrew him by
Oh, he overthrew several guys.
You know.
But in the second half, he looked a little better. I guess maybe my question about it is, because that was a puzzling football game.
Yeah.
What should Franklin and Kotelnicki have done? Like, when you know your quarterback may be in over his head,
mm-hmm.
what do you do? Like, because I felt like they actually managed it pretty well. Because once they got down into the red zone, you notice they just ran it.
They just ran it.
They did not trust him.
No, and they ran the ball for 5 yards a clip. I actually think, believe it or not, this is why I'm not. If you met, I kind of said Drew Aller's going to Drew Aller. I don't necessarily think this one's on James Franklin.
That's what I mean. I think it's on the quarterback.
I think it's on the quarterback.
They did the best they could.
Because even at the end, when people are like, what are you doing? There was almost a minute left.
Yes,
there was
47
seconds.
With timeouts.
I think you had all three timeouts.
I think that's right.
You cannot kneel on the ball.
Agreed.
And just be like, we're
going.
You got
to go for it.
You got to go for it.
Because you're Penn State. You're known for kneeling there or like being too conservative. Dude, this was your chance.
You got to go. And you just.
He screwed it up.
A third read late across your body over the middle. I mean, I sat there and looked at that and I really could not believe it when he threw that ball. I just was like, oh my God. And if you're James Franklin, you're just sitting there and you just have to be sick to your stomach and be like, I don't think this is on me. And I don't think it's on the coaching staff. I thought they did a nice job. And like you said, I thought they managed the game. I really did. And
there were a couple of bad third downs that, you know, because Notre Dame was able to force a couple of key punts. Like James Franklin said, the key in that game was third down. And I think Notre Dame
was amazing on third down.
They were 11 of 17 or something.
Yep, 11 of 17. And Penn State was 3 of 11.
A lot of that was Riley Leonard's legs.
Yeah.
But yeah, Penn State being 3 of 11, a couple of those were key drives. If they just moved the chains. Yep. It changes the complexity of the game, but I think there were a couple of them were third and shorts.
Yes.
And they, you know,
this is where I give Notre Dame credit. And this is why I liked Notre Dame in this game, even though I get Notre Dame's flawed and the injuries scared me, but Notre Dame runs the ball and they play good defense and that travels. And I'll give Notre Dame credit because at the beginning of that game, Penn State was pushing them around and bullying them. And somewhere along the line, I think what happened was they realized that Drew Aller wasn't going to throw the ball. And some of that is on.
And that's what it's getting at. Is I feel like on those third and shorts, if you do want to blame the coaching staff, maybe it's the OC, maybe it's James Franklin. Whoever it is, they got a little too conservative.
They did.
Look, Drew Aller, I know, was having a bad game, and they know he was having a bad game. But a couple of those times, like, isn't there, Suk, you're the football guy.
Yeah.
There's got to be something you can do. Can you roll him out?
Yes.
Can you? And I know they hit a few screens, but maybe a few more higher percentage short yardage plays that aren't runs right up the middle that Notre Dame knows is coming.
Yeah,
what I'm saying?
I thought there were times when I was watching that in the second half, and I have not gone back and actually watched the 22 or gone back and watched the game. But there were three or four times when I was watching that when I was like, there's times when a defense gives you a look that just says, we dare you to do something other than run the ball. Notre Dame, a handful of those times, were playing 9 guys at the line of 9 in the box. And I was like thinking to myself, all right, if you're Penn State, you have got to either bootleg out or find Warren on something. And they just didn't trust it. That reminded me very much of when Ohio State played Michigan and Will Howard was having that game, Ohio State did the same thing where they said, our defense is good enough and we're going to run the ball and we don't think you can score more. The only time that they really tried to open it up was when they had to because Notre Dame had gotten the lead back and they were like, oh, crap. And then Aller actually had made a play or two. They went down and scored. And then the other time they tried to open it up was when there was 40 whatever seconds left and they were just trying to get into field goal range and you can't do that. Throwing the ball. One worked out and the other one didn't.
There were two moments I thought this game was over. One was in the first half.
Oh, yeah.
When it was 10-0 and Leonard left the game.
Yeah.
I was like, dude.
Ball game.
31-0.
Yeah.
The second one was when Leonard threw his second interception with 10 minutes left. Yeah. It was Notre Dame took a 17-10 lead, but then Penn State tied it. 17 all, and then Leonard threw the pick in Notre Dame territory. I said right there, it's over.
Yeah.
And they took a 24-17 lead. So I'm sitting there going, you know what? I think that's it.
And then Notre Dame goes 81 yards to
And
tie
that
it
was
up.
The one where two guys fell down.
Yeah. Which is just another just dumb look. That's what I said. Penn State will go, and I'm giving Notre Dame all the credit. And I picked Notre Dame. I picked Notre Dame to be here at the beginning of this tournament. I said they're going to go play for a national title. they had no business winning that game. Well, if those two teams played 10 times, yeah. I'm convinced that Penn State wins 8 of them. But on that night, Aller picked the wrong night to have a horrible game and just a confluence of events. You mentioned two guys fall down, and it was the only real explosive play that Notre Dame had, and it was enough.
And they're kind of plucky, though.
They are.
They're plucky. They're kind of fun. I like.
Yes, they're okay playing in deep water.
And they play hard. They get turnovers like crazy. Mm-hmm. I guess they lead the country in creating turnovers. So it's hard kind of not to root for them because you know they shouldn't be here. But I think the bigger thing is, and I'm not going to go back to this for more than 30 seconds, but that bracket was so effed up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all the good teams were on one side of the bracket.
Sure.
I mean, Notre Dame being in the final, come on. If that bracket is balanced, Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, mm-hmm. if that bracket is balanced, Notre Dame is not in the championship.
I'm sitting there as an Oregon fan watching it saying, I can't believe these two teams are playing for a trip to the final.
I get it.
Not that they shouldn't be there, but just like one of those teams has to play for it all?
That game and the whole Georgia being without their quarterback thing, that game last night, if I'm an Oregon fan, that opened up some old wounds. Like, dude, really?
Damn it, really?
We've already beaten one of these teams, and surely they could have beaten Notre Dame.
Can anyone complete a pass longer than 15 yards?
The only thing I'll say to that, if you're an Oregon fan, because I know that hurts, and I think you've beaten one of those, and Oregon can beat any of those teams. That Penn State offense lit you up.
Drew Allard tore
you a new one.
But Drew Allard. He threw the pick.
Yes, he did.
At the end of that game.
Yes, he did.
So
Drew Allard's going to Drew Allard.
But you know what? If he plays the way he did in the Big Ten championship game, they win that game.
By a lot.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
By a lot.
Just make a couple throws, man.
Also, does it make you feel bad about Oregon's defense? Even worse about Oregon's defense?
Oh, probably. We're getting some of that on the text line, too. People are like, I watched it thinking, my God, like, do we have a problem with Tosh? Do we have a problem with the defensive side of the ball?
Because of what Penn State's offense did to Oregon.
Right.
Yeah.
I went back and looked. It was that the big third down stop. It was third and two, and Notre Dame had 9 guys at the line. And
they still ran
Aller up. And I'm like, that's where, like, to me...
Yeah,
you got to find a way to get something on the edge. You as an OC, especially one that's so creative, you have got to come up with something a little wonky to get something on the edge, move the pocket a little bit, as opposed to we're just going to try to be more physical than you. And I get it. In the first half, you were, but in that second half, Notre Dame had bowed their back and they were playing with fire. And third and two, I just don't love Drew Aller. And and by the way, you got two backs that are averaging 5 yards a carry.
Give it to one of them.
And you decide, this is like what they did at the goal line at against Ohio State.
Yep.
They had 4 plays inside like the 8 yard line, and Warren and Allen and Singleton didn't touch the ball. Like that's like one of those
I'm often stunned that in short yardage situations, particularly in the red, you know, like inside the 5 or the 10, I'm often stunned at how oftentimes good coordinators and teams and offenses can't freaking score.
No, because
or they can't get the first down. They get 4 shots at it and they kick a effing field goal.
And so many times, too, when everyone's just jammed in there, all it takes is one little wrinkle to get outside of it and you walk
in. And they never try it.
No, they just love playing in the box.
I guess Penn State did. It's just Aller missed the throw. Anyway.
And maybe that's this whole conversation.
So Kotelnicki's like, dude, don't blame me.
To that.
All right. More on that. We'll wrap up that game. I do want to tell you that it is hard to beat AP top 5 teams, although James Franklin is particularly bad at it. A couple of other numbers on that. And then can the Longhorns pull it off tonight in Dallas? Coming up, here's Buck.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, coming up here shortly, we will get into Texas, Ohio State. Kickoff 4:45-ish?
Yeah, it said 4:30, but yesterday it was 4:45, 4:50, so I'm assuming it'll be about the same.
They always have some pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, you got to do something, and there's a ceremonial coin toss, and I don't know, whatever you're doing.
I love that ref last night. The white hat.
Yeah.
He was great. Kind of handsome, too.
A lot of refs nowadays are. You know, I do think that we're entering a golden age of in-shape, handsome refs, and I think you have to credit... Yeah.
And they know it.
Hockley.
Yeah. Well, Hockley gets the credit for all refs having more self-awareness. It's like they're all like, oh, yeah, we are on national TV just like the players every time.
Better now, have some guns.
Yeah, now you're getting the guys like the white hat. They're very dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, they know that
they're
it's
playing
their time.
It up.
Yeah. It's their time to shine.
And, by the way, totally unrelated... and pertaining to nothing. World's worst clock operator last night?
Yeah. How many times
who
do you
was
have to
on
reset
the clock?
And they even said at their one point, they're like, dude, he's just not... It's a
they
first
had
down,
to
stop the clock.
They had to reset the clock every play. They had... The official had to come on, please reset the clock to 20 seconds. Please reset the clock to 15. Well, what was that guy doing?
I got an idea.
Who was it?
Well,
was he high?
That was my thing. Is I think...
Or was he a Penn State fan or
a
Notre Dame fan?
I think he was just high. I think... Maybe not everyone's been there, but...
Probably some old guy.
If you've ever taken an edible or you took one too many puffs and you thought you were fine and then like you're like, oh my God, you're not fine, and then you have to do a real task, it can be rough. And my guess is that I thought that thing last night when I was watching that, I was like, oh dude, my dude is baked up there.
He's gotta be some
and was he too stressed out about it, so he needed to like take the edge off?
Well, just stop the clock. Well, I mean, it's not that hard. They blow the whistle, stop the clock. God.
It is that hard, apparently.
World's worst clock operator.
He did seem to be having some problems. Just
if you're noticing it at home, it's like...
Well, when they have to say something on the broadcast, that might be the first time I've ever heard a broadcaster say something about the clock operator.
By the way, that guy's great. Sean, was that guy Sean McDonough?
McDonough, yeah.
Sean McDonough.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
One of my faves.
Yeah.
And the guy, Greg McElroy?
Yeah.
He's pretty good, too.
You like McElroy?
He's okay.
He's all right.
He does fine.
Not my favorite guy in the world, but he's fine.
He'll do in a pinch.
Maybe Drew Aller's dad was up there operating the clock.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Or the Jeter family. You know, I've never seen a kicker's family.
So much.
So, yeah. It's like the quarterback's family.
Yes.
Like, the kicker's family doesn't gather like that.
No.
But for Mitch Jeter, they do.
Yeah.
And how about Mitch Jeter's dad filming on his little iPhone as if he can't get a better version of the game-winning kick from the team?
That blows me away. especially in that, like, the people who are like... courtside sitting there and you're like, you could just watch someone else's version of the moment and enjoy it yourself.
Dude, you're Mitch Jeter's dad. I better get this on film or else nobody's going to know it happened. Nobody's going to be able to see it. We're all watching it, Dr. Jeter. Good grief.
Yeah, well,
anyway.
That's the most that the Jeter family will ever...
They're great, though.
They're great, yeah.
They're there supporting their little kicker guy.
Well,
their little kicker kid.
From South Carolina.
Well, anyway, just a couple numbers. We'll wrap up this game. But James Franklin, we all know the number or the stat.
Yeah.
He is now 1-15 against the AP top five, which is dreadful. But I did want to
top five.
Some context.
Yeah, top. But this is where beating top five teams for any coach is hard.
Well, did you know? And I think they showed this on SportsCenter last night. I don't think it was during the broadcast, but I think it was on SportsCenter after. Do you know what Frank Beamer's record was against AP top five?
Frank Beamer?
Yeah, the old Beamer. Yeah.
No, I don't.
1-21.
Ooh.
He was the original James Franklin.
He was.
And nobody talks about it.
Well, I do know, and so I don't know the exact number, but I've seen this in regards to, you know, they've talked about this with like Bo Pelini or when, you know, there's been a million coaches that have this problem. Even some of the greats are around 50-50. When you're playing a top five team, like you don't win 75% of those games. There's a lot of people with 50-50 or slightly below 50-50, especially... And I'm not trying to throw shade at Penn State. Penn State has built themselves into a much better roster over the handful of years. But most of the time when over the these, 11 years that he's been there, when they play a top five team, they are at a significant, athletic gap, especially those early days of Penn State.
And it's usually Michigan and Ohio State.
Yes.
And his record against Michigan and Ohio State is dreadful.
Yes.
But also crappy against top five teams, Mark Stoops, and that's to your point about how you're fighting an uphill battle because you don't have the talent. But Stoops at Kentucky, he is 0-11.
Yeah.
And then you know who else is really bad against AP top five teams? Mm. Interestingly enough, Steve Sarkisian, 1-5.
Yeah.
Maybe 1-6 after tonight.
Probably. It's really hard to beat those teams, especially when in the regular season, most of those, at least half of them are going to be on the road. And so, yes, Franklin needs to do something different, but you can see progress being made at Penn State. And last night, they should have gotten over the hump.
They're pretty good. They just got to get out of their own way.
They got Mitch Jeter last night.
I don't think they did. I think they got Drew Allard.
They did. Just after the game, his face,
I kind of felt bad for him.
I did, but at the same time, it's the most punchable face in college football, and the headband, and he looks like he's 8 years old. And
He seemed so in over his head.
Yes.
And I can't say I've ever seen that from a top-level quarterback like that.
Well, Riley Leonard looked like that way, too. No one could get the playoff.
Yeah.
It's just panic.
He did look like that.
It's panic.
Well, anyway, after all that happened in one of their finest seasons ever, Penn State, their best win, they beat Illinois.
Yeah.
After all of... Well, I guess you could say SMU. Or Boise State. If you want to count. I mean, their best three wins. Yeah. This was one of their best seasons ever.
Yeah.
They beat SMU, Boise State, and Illinois.
Yeah.
They lost to Oregon, they lost to Ohio State, and they lost to Notre Dame.
But they made it to the Final Four.
That's what I said. It's one of their best seasons.
One of the best seasons ever.
Ever. Okay, shut up, Buckley. Buckley's our Drew Aller. He's yelling at me in my headset here.
Better than last night's clock operator, though. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm as bad as that guy is. Hey, please reset the radio clock to 3:40.
We're not allowed.
All right, we'll be right back. Can the Longhorns pull it off in Dallas next on The Fan? Yeah, wild card weekend. Let's go. I have a story coming up of the real No One Believed in Us unit in this year's NFL playoffs. No, seriously.
Just a kid from Akron.
This is the real deal. No one believed in these guys. But first, Texas, Ohio State, I think we're going to get kick in about 55-0.
Yeah, they've got an actual clock, and it looks like it's right about 4:45 we will kick this thing off.
Can the Longhorns get her done? Or are we staring at a Will Howard v. Riley Leonard championship game?
Well, I'll say this. If Ohio State shows up the way they did the previous 2 weeks, no one's beating them. And I don't think it's really going to be close. But from an athletic standpoint, and I'll include Oregon in this, because I think Oregon is still the second or third best team in the country. But we even saw that when Ohio State's cooking athletically, Oregon isn't Ohio State. Texas is. Texas to a man, and they're getting their All-American right tackle back. I don't know what code of condition he's going to be in, but they have two All-American tackles. They're going to be first-round picks. That should be big against that front for Ohio State, which the last 2 weeks has just been overwhelming. But when you look at Texas's secondary, when you look at their backs, when you look at the quarterback play, because let's not act like Will Howard is the end-all, the be-all, Texas to a man can go toe-to-toe with Ohio State. So if Ohio State comes out and they're not sharp, or Will Howard gets a little Will Howardy and they have to play a little more conservative, if Ohio State isn't able to get home with their front the way they have the last 2 weeks, and it forces that secondary to play an extra counter to, Texas can make them pay. So yes, I think Texas absolutely can be in this game, but when I look at the way Ohio State's playing and I look at what Texas's, I think, offensive limitations are at times, we've seen Texas multiple times this year, their run game just vanish. Vanished against Georgia twice, vanished against Arizona State. And this Ohio State front is much better than any one of those. And in the two Georgia games, it cost them. Against Arizona State, it should have cost them. So this, honestly, to me, is more about can Ohio State, for the third week in a row, come out and play that sharp. And for college kids, this is really hard to do week after week after week, the emotional and the adrenaline dump. So I think this is going to be a little closer than some people think, but ultimately I just don't have any faith in Texas's offense to be consistent enough to beat Ohio State, but it's the last athletic team that can go toe to toe with Ohio State.
It's the Quinn Ewers revenge game.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Because he played it. Well, he didn't play, but
he was at Ohio State.
He went to Ohio State.
They ran him out of town.
No.
No?
Well, do you know how?
I don't know.
Oh, so
I have no idea.
Okay, so Quinn Ewers was he was like this high school prodigy.
Yeah. Where is he from?
He's from Texas.
Okay.
So I don't remember where out in Texas, Dallas or whatever, but he was a prodigy, right? And was a big deal. Well, in Texas, in the early days of NIL, Texas had a state law that did not allow high school kids to take NIL money.
South Lake.
Yeah, so I think he was a South Lake Carroll kid.
Born in San Antonio.
So he reclassified simply to go get NIL money. And Ohio State put together a big old package for him and gave him a truck. And it was one of the very first big NIL deals. And a lot of people think all along that was him just playing hardball with Texas, that he knew he wasn't going to win the job at Ohio State as a freshman. Mm-hmm. And that was more along the lines of, I'm just going to go take a bunch of money, use that as leverage, and head back to Texas.
Okay.
So,
then he got a bunch of money from Texas?
Yeah. And then Texas gave him a bunch of money to transfer back. And he was never really in. And in fact, he redshirted. He never played. He was not even in a conversation to be the quarterback at Ohio State because their quarterback was.
God, who would it have been?
Trying to remember who that would have been. I'd have to
think. Was it Fields?
Oh, it would be later than him.
No, it would have been later than Fields.
So this would have been 2021?
When he came out? Because right? This is his. Well, he redshirted, so...
This is his third year playing.
So it would have been 4 years ago. It might have been Fields.
2021?
Yeah, it might have been Justin Fields.
Let's take a look.
But yeah, he was never... Like, he just was never a thing. He didn't dress. He didn't travel with the team. He just was like, sit down, and he was never really the guy. So I have heard some people think that that was merely just a... I left because Ohio State gave me the most money, and I never really intended to stick it out and try to compete at Ohio State. My plan was to always come back to Texas.
Yeah, Fields was the quarterback in 2020,
yeah,
so which was the COVID year.
Yeah.
And then the year after that, which was his Ewers redshirt year.
Stroud,
yeah,
maybe?
No, it was Fields.
Fields right. And Stroud, something like that?
Fields and then Stroud.
Yeah. So, you know, and if Ewers looked at C.J. Stroud and was like, hey, I'm not beating that, well, cool. Texas giving me a bunch of money. Thanks for coming. Deuces, I'm out.
Yeah, and Kyle McCord was there too, remember?
Yeah, Kyle McCord, by the way, declared for the NFL draft today.
Yeah, he was there, and he sat behind Stroud and realized, yeah, probably not beating out that guy. So,
well, no, he was the quarterback for Ohio State, and he sucked.
Yeah, so Stroud left.
Yeah.
McCord took over.
They ran him out.
They ran him out. Yeah. He went to Syracuse, set a bunch of records. Now he's going to the NFL. Yeah. Will Howard comes in from K-State, right? K-State?
Yes.
And he's basically Kyle McCord. Look at their numbers. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
They have the exact same numbers.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Kyle McCord, they ran him out on a rail. Mm-hmm. He has pretty much the same numbers as Will Howard did this year.
Well, look.
In the regular season.
Not one of these quarterbacks in the Final Four is anyone that you want to write home about.
No.
And then that's like, we're going back to old school football. It's like Alabama and like LSU winning titles with, you know, quarterbacks that you'll never remember in your life, like AJ McCarron. And who was the LSU? Was it Matt Flynn or someone that Saban won a national title with? Like, and now, no offense to Will Howard, no offense to Quinn Ewers who and Riley Leonard, but this is not a who's who of quarterback play. But I would also like to point out that at one point, Ohio State beat arguably the greatest college football team of all time, that Miami Hurricanes team, that every player on that damn team, starter and backup, went on and like did great NFL things. They beat them with Craig Krenzel.
Yeah.
Craig Krenzel. Somewhere Craig Krenzel is selling insurance and being like, yeah, I beat that Miami team, F you.
Was that Tressel?
Yes. It was Jim Tressel. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Jim Tressel. Beat that
national
Miami,
champion.
Beat that Miami Hurricane team.
Jim Tressel.
Yes. Which had
hell of a job.
Had Ed Reed and Mike Rumpf and DJ.
What year was that?
DJ was 2001,
two,
I believe.
2001, yeah.
Tressel. Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, it's like, look at that Miami team. I'm telling you, every player on the two deep is like, oh my God. And Jim Tressel and Craig Krenzel took them down.
Okay, well, that's hope for Riley Leonard.
And that does not happen in the NFL, but it does happen in college. I just thought we were kind of in a better spot with quarterback play, and then this playoff came around and said, that's
well,
fast.
Will Howard's playing really good right now.
Yes, he is.
And Ewers, has a chance tonight on the biggest stage to show that he's really Quinn Ewers.
And to be fair to Quinn Ewers, who I have not been a fan of all year, he saved their ass.
He did.
In that Arizona State game.
Two throws in a row.
Yes.
Two big throws in a row. But yeah, Riley Leonard, the new Craig Krenzel.
And we haven't even mentioned it yet, but I think we have to because I did a not so fast. Did anyone see Lee Corso almost die on the set?
Yeah. I wasn't going to bring it up because I'm tired of piling on him.
I know, but like...
But it's not piling on him. It's piling on the people who keep doing this to him and putting him out there.
They dressed him up as a leprechaun, and they had like a 90-year-old stroke survivor trying to do an Irish jig, and he damn near went down. And I'm telling you, if he falls, he's not getting back up.
No.
Like that,
he's breaking a hip.
That needs to, like, someone.
And he's probably losing the other half of his teeth.
Whose idea was that?
I don't know. But, like, dude, I'm watching that thing and I'm like, oh, no.
You know, when you get old like that, somebody has to protect you from yourself.
Yes.
And no one is doing that with him. And it's really sad.
Yes.
And I hate it.
And they, I'm not even talking about when he went on his rant, which I'm still not 100% certain what he was talking about. It was weird. That was bad enough. But then, dude, they put him in the leprechaun outfit, and he was trying to dance, and he started to go backwards. Luckily, the other leprechaun guy was able to, like,
get steady things.
I wonder if someone told him, they're like, hey, man, just so you know, like, you're up there dancing with Lee, just keep an eye on this.
At this stage, what if he croaks on TV?
Oh, man. Well, I mean...
It's going to make for an awkward segment.
Yeah, but at the same time, is it one of those, like...
He died doing what he loved.
Just all stand up and start clapping.
Is there a better way for him to go? Like,
yeah, probably comfortably in a bed somewhere.
The middle of it. No, I'm saying this. Middle of a segment. They go to Lee, and we think he just fell asleep. And someone, like, nudges him, and he's not. And I think, honestly, I think that's a beautiful way for him to go. And you shouldn't be sad. You're like.
Would they show it?
Well, they did. Like, someone would nudge him and be like, Lee. And he's just, you know.
Cut to break.
He's dead. I think that would be an appropriate way for Lee Corso to go. And I think he would like that.
It'd be iconic.
Yes.
Well, Texas, Ohio State.
Said leave Corso alone and let him die on national TV. God.
Well, that's why I brought it up.
Yeah, just right there.
Kicks off here in about 40 minutes. We get to some NFL playoffs coming up next on The Fan.